Amen. Luke chapter 15 tonight. Luke chapter number 15. Brother Randy, I received a video this past week of Brother Keith Norris singing a song. And he sounded an awful lot like J.D. Sumter, Mike Copeland, so that could be a thought. Luke chapter 15. Book of Gospel of Luke. There's a lot of stories, a lot of accounts in Luke that are not found in the other Gospels. I was thinking there just a moment ago about the story of the rich man Lazarus, and the rich man having all that he desired, all that the world found pleasurable, but yet he finds himself in hell. And Lazarus, in the eyes of the world, had nothing, but today he's delighting himself in heaven. It's not found in another gospel, only in Luke. Only in Luke you'll find the story of the Good Samaritan, the one that went down from Jericho to Jerusalem. He fell among thieves, fell among robbers. But along comes a Good Samaritan, a type of our Savior, type of our Lord, binds his wounds, takes him to an inn, takes care of his needs. It's only found in Luke. And here tonight, this account, it's only found in Luke. The story, the account of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain, or he would have been gladly, have filled his belly with the husk that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Father, tonight we want to thank you for the blessings of the day. We want to thank you, Lord, for life itself, for the songs we've heard, the preaching we've heard today, for a church family that loves and desires to see you. Lord, I pray now you'd bless the reading of your word for your honor and for your glory. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Sister, I thank you for singing that song. We do have a heavenly Father that's above. Eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. And he cares. He cares for us, church. He cares for this one that's went astray, that's went out to a world and wasted his inheritance. The first time we meet this younger son, this one, we're introduced to him by his very own words. His first words we see in this account is, Father, give me. The very first thing he says, he's asking, he's desiring, he's wanting, he's saying, Father, give me. Pastor, I believe it's a statement, or we can say it's a statement of immaturity. It's a statement of immaturity. You say, well, what's a statement of immaturity? When it's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about my desires, my needs, my wants, my satisfaction. You know, you go and you watch a 2 or 3 year old and you see that statement of immaturity. It's all about I want. Give me mine. We see this immaturity in this younger son. I believe it's an example, it's a picture, a type of an immature Christian. Those that just want. Those that just pray and desire what they can have to fulfill the desires and the needs and the satisfaction of their life. Never getting to the place where Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith be content. It's just, Father, it's about me. Father, give me. Father, I won't. We don't know what his inheritance was. We presume, we can say it was fairly large. It was sizable. We don't know how long it took this younger son to go and waste and spend through this inheritance. We don't know how long the famine it was to come in the land and that great time period it may have been, or how long he worked there feeding in the fields, feeding those swine. I would say it was some great time, but we find at the end of the story, the eldest son tells his father, these many years I have served you. So we presume it was a great amount of time that this son had took his inheritance out into the world, and he wasted it. He wanted it. He got his desires. He got what he asked from the father. And now we find him back in the father's house. Let me say tonight, time and trouble has a way of teaching us many lessons. Time and trouble has a way of changing our heart and changing the way we see things. You know, the older I get, and hope the wiser that I get, I look back on my past and I wonder many times, what were you thinking? I mean, what were you thinking in that situation, those choices, those decisions you've made? You know, some of you sit here tonight, and you say to yourself, if I only knew then what I know now. If I only knew then what I know now, I would go back and I'd tell myself, I'd give myself some advice, don't do that, don't make this decision, that choice. It may seem right, it may seem what you want, what you desire, it may be to your satisfaction, but it won't turn out to your likings. Time and trouble here in this account teaches this man, this younger son, and I believe he goes from an immature Christian to a mature Christian. The first time he's talking to his father, the first time we're introduced to him, it's all about me, what I want. Father, give me. But look at verse number 18. He comes to himself. In verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me. He goes from a give me Christian. It's all about what I want, my desires, my needs, my satisfaction. He goes from an immature Christian to a Christian that says, Father, just make me. Make me what you desire. Make me what you want for my life. Father, I no longer want to go, and I want to no longer live and walk to my desires, but Lord, you just make me what you want to make me. Father, it's not my desires. I've had it my way, but it's your desires. It's not my will, but it's your will. It's not my wants, but it's your wants. Let me say tonight, church, the only true and the only happy place that a child of God can live a Christian life is when we get to the place where we say, Father, just make me. King David, all through the Psalms, I believe he had it right. His prayers, his desires, his supplications were, make me to know thy wisdom. Make me to hear thy joy and thy gladness. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Make me to go in the paths of thy commandments. You know, that make me instead of give me is contrary to the type and to the philosophy and the mindset of the world and the time that we live in. We have the mindset of, the more I get, the more I retain, as long as I'm pleasing myself, the more I receive, the happier I will be. But the true joy, the true delight, The true happiness is of the Christian when we can get to the place and we say, Lord, make me what you want. Make me what you desire for your honor of your son, for the praise of your son. Lord, just make me. That's my prayer. I'm praying I can get to the place where it's not about gun. It's not about his desires, but I can get to the place where I can say, Lord, just make me what you want to make me. I'm praying it for my church. That our church as a congregation could get away from our desires and our wants. And we look to the Lord and say, Lord, you just make us the church you want to make us. Do you want to know what makes, Pastor, I think, so many Christians miserable? So many Christians that are just miserable in this Christian life. They have no song. They have no joy. They have no contentment. They have no passion. Have no thrill. Have no excitement. Have no compassion. They're walking this life this young man walked. And it was all about just give me my desires. No excitement. My want. No thrill. They're living this, Father, give me life. Let me say, if you ever start living this make me life, you can rest assured the Father will give His blessings, His desires in your heart, and it'll be a life of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just a few things tonight, and I'll be quick. The differences in going from give me to make me. There's some great differences. I see the differences in this give me, I believe, is built on self-reliance. Look at verse number 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. This younger son said, Father, just give me what's coming to me. Give me my desires, what I want, and take your hands off of it. He didn't want any strings attached. He didn't want to be under the say or under the rule or under the authority of his father anymore. He just wanted what had coming to him so he could go and do his own thing. It was self-reliance. A self-reliant Christian life. You know what a Christian's saying when they don't come to church, not faithful to the house of God? You know what a Christian's saying when they don't spend time in prayer with God? When a Christian doesn't read their Bible much, they don't want to live within the bounds of the Word of God, and they don't want to be directed and guided by the authority of the Word of God. You know what a Christian's saying? They're saying, Lord, I can handle this. I got this on my own. Lord, you just keep blessing me. You just keep funding me. You just keep giving me, and I'll take care of everything else. I don't need your direction, Lord. I don't need your guidance. I don't need your authority. A self-reliant Christian. One thing I learned about self-reliance, Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3. He said, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You start relying on yourself, our own ability, your own discernment, your own capability, your own direction, we'll end up just like this younger son. A self-reliant Christian. We live in a self-reliant day. This modernistic, feministic, self-supporting, self-governing, self-sustaining thinking is contrary to the Word of God. I was reading just a moment ago there in Genesis chapter 2. God made man. He places man in the Garden of Eden, tells him to dress it. And the next verse he says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. We not only need God, but God uses others, brothers and sisters in Christ that helps us and sustains us and supports us. Instead of this self-reliant Christian, we need to get to the place and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I want you to make me what you want me to be. You desire whatever you want. You direct and you guide, you provide. And Lord, as long as I'm in that make me Christian walk, I'll be fine. This Christian life of give me, it's a built on self-reliance. But this Christian walk of make me, let me say it's built on servitude. Verse number 19. This younger son, this younger brother says, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know what a servant is? A servant is one that has no say-so in what goes on in his life. This is a hired servant. This is not a paid employee. This is not a worker that's getting paid. This is a servant that has been bought and paid for. Here in this day, this servant, they'd have no say-so when they got up, no say-so when and where they worked, no say-so what they did through the day, no say-so where they went. It was nothing, but it was the master that called all the shots. And this master was going to make this servant into the one that he desires. Can I say tonight, church, the happiest we'll be is when we get to the place when we say, Lord, I'm not running my life. Lord, I'm not making my own self decisions. I'm not being self-reliant. But Lord, I want to be your servant. Paul said, I'm a servant. James said, I'm a servant. Peter said, I'm a servant. John said, I'm a servant. Jude said, I'm a servant. But yet today in the church of 2023, we say we don't want God or no one else telling us what, when, and how. A self-reliant Christian is this give me. But make me is one of servitude. I see the differences, but how about the distance from give me to make me? There's a big difference we find here between this give me Christian and this make me Christian. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with righteous living. A far distance, a great distance, a vast difference from Father, give me, back to Father, make me. Let me say, God can close that distance very quickly. Here God gives this younger son just enough slack, just enough. And he wastes this substance. He spends all of his resources, all is gone. And now he begins to be in want. He begins to be in need. And now the Lord sends a great famine. We find him there in the pig pen, amongst the swine, feeding the swine. God sends a dry and barren time in this man's life to get him from a distance of give me to make me. Let me say tonight, church, God has to. He can send a dry and barren time in your life to get us from the give me Christian to the make me Christian. You can look back. I look back on my life. Those dry and barren times of my life. Choices I made that were wrong. Decisions I made that were wrong. Directions I went that I desired instead of it was God's will. God used those to get me back to where I am tonight. He can close that great distance. 1 Peter 5:6, the Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and he shall exalt you in due time. Our job is to humble ourselves. His job is to raise us up, to lift us up, to exalt us. But if we try to do out his job, exalt ourselves, Lord, give me, Lord, I want, Lord, I desire, Lord, I want to meet my satisfaction, then God can do our job. He can humble us and close this distance. We see this young man, he's in the field. He's feeding swine. He's in want. He has nothing. And we say, well, that's so bad. It's so sad. What a poor shape this young man's in. Nobody's there. No man, Bible says, no man gave unto him. He has nothing. He has no one. But let me say, God doesn't see the way we see. I believe that was the mercy of God, he finds himself in the position he's in. It's like God saying, this has to be. He's got to be there so I can take him from this give me to make me. A blessing, a mercy of God. God using the circumstances of his life to close that distance. I wonder what it's going to take in our life for God to close that distance from give me to make me. What it's going to take when it's not, when we say it's not about me, it's not about my family, it's not about my desires, but God, it's all about you and your son, Jesus Christ. That distance. Can we close the distance? Or will God have to? The differences. Give me, it's self-reliance. Make me, it's servant to. God can get us to this place, to that place. But I also see there's a delight in this give me and make me. Verse number 20. The Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this was my son, was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and was found, and they began to be merry. You see the delight? There's great delight when this young man, he comes back, and it's no longer about me, but it's about, Father, you just make me. He's delighted here to be in the presence of his Father. There's a great delight to be in God's presence. No another greater place to be. I see the delight of the kiss. It's a kiss of love. This young man, poor, dirty, filthy, and he comes when no one else wants him, when no one else desires him, gets a kiss from the Father. When he was out there and give me, he had the possessions and the prestige and the position that he was in. He may have gotten kisses, but now the smell of grime and the smell of the sewer, the filth. And it's only the Father that runs and kisses him. Let me say, church, when no one else desires you or wants you, the Father will always be waiting. The delight of this kiss. Let me say there's the delight in a confession, verse number 18. He said, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I believe he delighted in the kiss. I believe he delighted in his confession. You say, what do you mean he delighted in the confession? Do you know what it's like to have that heavy load of guilt and the heavy load of shame and the guilt of sin on your life? And when you confess it to the Father, instantly that load is removed. It's a delight. Getting into your prayer closet, coming to the altar, spilling your heart out to God and saying, Father, I've sinned. God, I've failed. God, I have sinned against you. And that heavy load is removed. Delightful. This younger son, he gets a kiss from the Father. He's delighting in that kiss. He's delighting in that confession. Let me say, he delights in the calf. He's just a few verses earlier. He's out in the field. He's desiring corn husks just to ease the hunger pains. And now, before him, because of the Father, lies a calf. Being fed physically from the Father. Goes from the pig slop to prime rib. The delight of the Father. I'm thankful for God's blessings. He's blessed me and he's given to me and I bless his name for that. But let me say, I thank him for spiritually feeding me. The delight of the calf, the delight of the kiss, the delight of confession. Let me say the delight in the close. Father says, tells his workers to go get the best robe. Not any robe. Not the normal robe, but the best robe. Do you know what the best robe in the house would have been? The best robe in the house would have been the Father's robe. The robe that was fitted and fashioned and made just for the Father. And here comes the Son, smelling like the world, has the marks and the stains of the world, and has the world upon him, looking bad, looking ragged. And the Father puts his own robe upon his Son. It covers it all. Covered it all over. Delighted in the clothes. Aren't you glad you've been wrapped in the righteousness of God? Covered by the robe of righteousness from Jesus Christ? This boy thought stuff. He thought things would bring him satisfaction. But now he realizes it's not stuff, but true delight. True satisfaction is just being a son to the Father. Being in the Father's house satisfies. Being at the Father's feet satisfies. Being fed by the Father satisfies. Being clothed by the Father satisfies. And he goes from a give me Christian to a make me Christian. The delight he experienced. Psalms 37:4. You've heard it. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. I've heard it before. You've heard it before. People, preachers, they've read it, quoted it, preached it. And they say, if you're living for God, if you're delighting in the Lord, if you're pleasing the Lord, then God will give you the desires of your heart. But I don't think that's what it's saying. I don't believe that's what it means. When we start living this make-me life, when we start delighting ourselves in the Lord and we start pleasing the Lord, then the Lord will give us His desires in our heart. And what we felt was our desires is actually His desires. And we're thinking, wow, God's giving us, giving me what I want. But we're actually giving the Father what He desires. May the Lord tonight make us and take us from this give me to Lord, make me. So what does that, how does that apply to us? Sunday night crowd, a faithful crowd, the backbone of the church. Do you know it's possible to be in the Father's house? It's possible to be clothed, to be robed. It's possible to be in fellowship with the Father, being fed by the Father spiritually and physically. And have the attitude of this prodigal son. Here this prodigal son, this younger son, younger brother comes back. And there's another son. One that never left. One that never strayed. One that never went out in the world. Never left his father. Never left the house of his father. He come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night of the revival. But yet he's just like his older brother. Look at verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Here it is, verse 29. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, never transgressed I any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. Here's one that's in the house of God. Never went astray, never went out into a world, never left his father's side. But he's just like his younger brother in verse 12. Father, give me. Father, it's all about me. It's all about my satisfaction. Thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I wonder about us tonight, preaching to great crowd, great church, faithful, wonderful servants you are. But it's possible to have the same attitude as the prodigal son. Lord, give me. Church, I pray we can get to the place where it's not about us, but it's about the Lord making us. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for your blessings. Lord, I pray you take these few words for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would reveal in our hearts, Father, the things that we need to get right with you. Father, we are blessed that we're saved tonight. We're redeemed. We're blessed, Father, that we're called a child of God. We're blessed to be at a wonderful church and have wonderful friends and wonderful pastor. But God, I pray that maybe deep inside we have that same attitude as the younger son. It's about us. It's about our desires, our wants. Lord, make us what you'd have us be. Make us, Father, that vessel of honor for your honor and glory. We love you, Lord. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand tonight.